They come in all kinds of different ways. That's the title today, To Be or Not to Be. Opening lines, one-liners, pickup lines. You know, you heard this one? Hey, do you believe in love at first sight, or should I walk by again? Took you a minute, didn't it? You know, how about, you know what's on the menu? Me and you. If you spell menu, you'll get that. Don't use that one. I guess that one don't work, you know. How about this one? I'm no photographer, but I can picture us together. Here's one in case you're in law enforcement. Are you a parking ticket? Because you've got fine written all over you. Roger, did you use that then, Robin? Just a thought there. Hey, if you see Maria, ask her what my pickup line was. I'm not going to tell you. If you see her, ask her what my pickup line was. I never heard it from anybody else, and it worked. 34 years. I asked her this morning. She says, I don't know how many years it is, but 34 years. So, I want to ask you today, it all depends on who says what, right? In your notes, I have says who. I want to share with you today the gospel, the entire month, as Jim said. For two reasons. This month, I want you to get it. Number one, if you're a Christian and you're going to share the gospel with somebody, I want you to know what the gospel is. So very often I get somebody, they're talking to somebody and they say, well, I tell them, you know, they need to come to church. Well, yeah, they do, but coming to church is not going to make you a Christian. There's all kinds of people in church that are not Christians. You know, I want you to know how to share the gospel, and I want you to, I'm praying the Lord opens it. Easter's coming up. Invite somebody to hear the gospel. You share it with them. I'll share it with them. You know, the Bible says, statistics say, I'm sorry about that, that people need to hear the gospel about three times before they really get it. So let's get to it. The other reason I'm sharing this series is that there's somebody here who thinks they're a Christian. Like me, for so many years. There's somebody here today, you played the religious part of it. Like me. There's people here that they come to church, they think they're a Christian. Just like the religious people are here, and you're not. And that won't be my decision. That will be between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. In your notes, I have says who. Could you turn your Bibles or your smartphone? If you have a smartphone, turn your smartphone or go to the Bible app. You can follow right along with the notes or open up your program. The sermon notes are right there. Grab a pen and follow along. I don't have 23 through 27 on your notes, so open your Bible and you see Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. Folks, this is the thing. The religious leader stands for religious people. All throughout history. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him, and they asked him questions. Hey, by what authority are you doing these things? And they asked, and who gave you this authority? Two questions. Let me pause and let you take a look at this here just for a second. In this chapter, Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem. He's riding in Jerusalem. He's on a donkey. People are praising him. The words from the Psalms that would only be saved for the Messiah. And the religious people are like, are you crazy? What's going on? Why don't you say something? Stop him. The second thing that happens is as he goes into Jerusalem, he finds that they are selling and ripping people off in the temple, in church. And he's indignant and he flips over. All of the money changers' tables. The next things that happened, if you look at verse 14 to 15, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple. Remember, this starts, Jesus enters the temple. He comes to the temple. He heals them. And this irritates the really religious people. It's just like, they're not following us anymore. We're not the center of attention anymore. They're all going over there. So Jesus leaves. He comes back the next day, and on the way in, he's hungry, and it says he goes to a fig tree, and he wants something to eat, but there's no fruit on it. And he curses the fig tree and say, may you never bear fruit again. A symbol of what would happen to the people who were supposed to bear fruit for the kingdom. I will, in this parable, one guy says, the other one says, I will not. Now you have Matthew 21, verse 28. And Jesus, after he continues on with this conversation, verse 24, let me back up. Jesus replied, I will ask you guys a question. If you answer me, I'll tell you by what authority I'm doing this. You answer my question, I'll answer your questions. Basically what he said. He said, John's baptism. Remember, John the Baptist? Where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, you know, if we say it's from heaven, they're going to say, well, why didn't you believe? But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the people, for they were all holding that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. And he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. And then he launches into maybe one of the shortest parables in the scriptures. One of the shortest parables explaining the gospel. Remember who he's talking to. Remember what it launched. So Matthew 21, verse 28, Jesus asked another question. This is how tricky he is. He says, what do you think? Question mark. There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. Let's pause there and we'll keep going in and out. Number one in your notes, would you please write this in with me? Jesus, as he starts, says, hey, would you put on your thinking cap? Because he says, what do you think? Put on your thinking cap. You see, you and I get to listen into a conversation Jesus is having with a religious group of people, no different than a religious group of people sitting here today. You and I may not be Jewish, but we're believers, supposedly. Here they are. These people thought that they were okay with God. How many people do you know that call themselves, have the right words, a Christian or a follower or whatever, and they just kind of feel that they're all right? I don't want you and me to make the same mistake. You're going to see that the religious people here, they make this mistake. Don't make the mistake of thinking this question isn't aimed at you and me. If you will do this, every time you open the scriptures, this will help you tremendously. When you read Harry Potter, it's not, you know, no matter who you think you are, you're not Wiggleworth or Sluggerworth or whoever those crazy people are. If you are reading Star Wars or watching whatever, if you, the Star Troopers, they're not after you. The Stormtroopers are not after you. You understand that. When you read the scriptures, part of the gospel is this. You have to take it personally. You have to take the scriptures personally. Jesus takes this question to heart, and every generation has to take this question to heart. Don't make the mistake of thinking this couldn't possibly be me. I'm religious. I'm Christian. I'm whatever it is. Do you remember Jesus saying these words over and over and over again? Jesus had some one-liners, pick-up lines, if you don't mind. He said, you know what? You got ears, but you ain't hearing nothing spiritual. You got ears, but you ain't hearing. Do you got your thinking cap on? Or do you think, now I'm in. Because that's what they thought. Number two, notice the phrase when he says he told his son to go and work today in the vineyard. Number two is the work of the Father. The work of the Father. See, the point was that I'm doing the work of the Father. That was the point he was trying to make. Are you doing the work of the Father? Because in working in the vineyard, you produced for the dad. For everything about the dad. For the dad's livelihood. For the way he made his life. For his kingdom. And the one way that you know that you're a Christian more than anything else is if you serve. If you work for the kingdom, not for yourself, if you're working in advancing, if you're calling yourself a Christian, you're not involved in any way, shape, or form, you're just deceiving yourself. This is so important because if you work for the kingdom, if you're working for the Father, everything else comes along. You give. You serve, you fellowship, you know, you pray, you read the scriptures, everything else follows that. Here's these religious Jews. They had stopped doing the work of the Father. And what were they doing? They were doing religion their way. What was comfortable to them, what was traditional to them. I don't mind tradition. Just be careful that tradition doesn't supplant the truth, the Word of God. Jesus comes along and hears this fig tree and he says, may you never bear fruit again. These workers, they were never going to bear fruit. And Jesus tells us pointedly and ongoingly, if you follow me, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, the kingdom, and everything will be else will be added to you. Are you about working to serve to build the kingdom? Maybe you're in that seeking mode. Okay. Jesus is opening our eyes to see what had gone on, and he tells us, don't fall into this. I mean, if you have any kind of a fruit tree, and you have good branches, any kind of vine tree, you know, grape, whatever it is, you prune them, and they grow better and bigger and more juicy. But if you have a dead branch, you don't leave it. If you have a dead branch, you cut it off. It'll never bear fruit. You know what John 15 says? Write it down. John 15, you go read it yourself. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. My Father prunes you so that if you're bearing fruit, you bear more, bigger, better fruit. And if you're a Christian, you're always being pruned. But he says, if you don't bear any fruit, my Father will cut you off and throw you into the fire. This tree, this fig tree, never bear fruit ever again. Jesus didn't give his life so we could call ourselves Christians and then just say, well, I'm not going to work. The gospel includes working and serving. Number one, if you know the gospel, somebody, you got to take it personal, or whoever you're sharing has got to take it personal. Number two, it means being a part of his kingdom. Then Jesus goes on with the story. The son, he says, go and work today in the vineyard, verse 29. I will not, the first son answered. But later, he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Number three in your notes, would you write this down? This is important in sharing the gospel. There has to be a change of heart. Has to be a change of heart. The first son probably could represent me and maybe many of you. You know, he said, you know what, I'm not going to. I'm not going to be a follower. I kind of played the religious game personally. But later on, I gave my life to Christ. My heart was changed. I repented. And now I'm at work and I'm serving in the kingdom. I served in the kingdom before I ever was a pastor. I believe that's one of the reasons the Lord opened the door for me. You don't take pastors and make people pastors or anything else if they're not serving at the lowest level. The second guy gave lip service. Don't you love it there? He's so respectful. Sir, yes, I will. This recognizes in their day, in our day, religious people that are very respectful. They're respectful. They got the right words. They approve. They believe Jesus. They believe in the Trinity, but they do nothing to build the kingdom. They ain't got time for that. I just go to church once in a while, read my Bible once in a while, whatever it is. They're not working for the kingdom. It's a change of heart that has to come. See, you got two sides of this here. You have the religious people in our day and in this day. They're all talk. And they're respectful. Don't get me wrong. Their traditions have taken over, but they do nothing for the kingdom. And then you have those who they have a relationship with the Father and says, you know, my Father's been so good to me. At least I could do his work in his vineyard. And so you have those who have a relationship with Jesus. This is the total difference. You have a relationship with Jesus and you come to the place where you have a change of mind and you go to work in his kingdom. See, one of the parts about the gospel, if you share the gospel and if you hear it today, it has to be repentance. Call it what you want. It's a change of heart. It's a turning away from my life and my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you share the gospel, you have to talk about repentance. And most, whenever you get a chance to share with somebody, that's a very difficult place. The thing that I've learned, you can use it or do something different, is talk about your sin and what you used to be like. Most often, it breaks down a lot of doors. So Jesus, here he is. He's talking about John the Baptist. He's asked a question. This is all going to come back to John the Baptist. Here's the chief priest and the elders. You have John the Baptist. Which son does he represent? You have of the elders and the chief priest. Which son does he represent? But the question to me is which son do I represent? Verse 31. Jesus asked a question. They wouldn't answer his last question. He had a question, what do you think? And now he asked another question. Let's see if he gets an answer. Verse 31. Which of the two did what the Father wanted? Ooh, me, pick on me. Right away, bingo, bango, two words. The first, they all knew the right answer. They answered Jesus, and he said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. Oh, don't you know that made him happy? For John, you're bringing this all the way back to John the Baptist. You wouldn't answer the question. We're going to answer the question. You're going to see the question. You're going to see the answer. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. This is the problem in the gospel. It isn't just a head knowledge oftentimes. It's you say you believe, but you don't serve, you don't work, you're not about building the kingdom. It's so clear here. You're not a part of it, just some kind of religion. He says, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they heard John. They changed their lives. They came to him as cheats and prostitutes, and they repented of their sin, and they went away with a changed heart. No longer prostitutes. No, they could still be tax collectors, but they weren't cheating everybody. Because that's the power that they had. And then here's Jesus' pickup line. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. Do you know Jesus opened the gospel, many of the gospels, with this line? The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news. The word good news is simply the gospel, what Jesus is sharing with us today. Number four, would you write it in with me? You see, it's not enough to have the right answer. Head knowledge in the spiritual world can be dangerous. It may lead me to think because I have the right answer, I am right with God. I got the right answer. I believe in the truth. I believe in the Trinity. I believe Jesus is God. I believe He's whatever. When you believe it, He died on the cross for you. Having the right answer can be extremely dangerous. Haven't you ever taken a test? Studied for the test. You studied for a day and night. You took the test, and when you were done, you didn't remember one thing. Because you studied it to pass. Matter of fact, it had nothing to do with you in life. Maybe you took American Lit or English Lit, and maybe you know that Shakespeare said to be or not to be, and he made an omelet, which was Hamlet, and he's the one that said it, and now you're going to go home and have an omelet with ham in it, because that's a Hamlet. I don't know. My mind's messed up. Look it. Here's John the Baptist, and they're saying, hey, where did his authority come from? Are you guys agreeing with my mind is messed up? What's going on here? They're talking about he's coming back to John the Baptist, and here the gospel is God making a way for you and me to be truly right. Not having the right answer, but truly right down in the heart. And if you share the gospel, you have to know that Jesus is the way. Only one way. 2 + 2 = 5 every time. No. There are many different roads to heaven. No. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. You have to share Jesus if you share the gospel. If you're here today, Jesus loves you. His good, good Father loved you and sent His Son to pay for your sins, to give you a heart and a life, to be get to the place where you could spend eternal life with Him. And if you accept, you have to work for His kingdom. After all that He's done for you, number five, Jesus answered His own question. Do you remember back there? Hey, John, you know, what do you think about him? Was he from heaven? Or was he, you know, from man? Where did his authority come from? And in answering this question, He shows that what happened to people who heard the message of John were changed. They had a heart change. And in seeing that, they realized both were correct. They were saying, if he said, we say he's from heaven, oh, I'm going to say what? He was from, God sent him, and he was a prophet sent by God. Both of those were true, and that's where his authority was. The religious leaders, they should have seen that sinners were turning from their ways and known it was God. What were they doing in their churches, in their synagogues? What prostitutes were coming to them and tax collectors and getting changed or baptized? Baptism was something that was practiced in the Old Testament. What were they doing? You guys ever hear of this product, poo-pourri? Poo-pourri. You know, you spray it in the toilet, and it doesn't smell like you went to the toilet. It covers the smell of your poop. Poo-pourri. You know, and I go to some places, they got this can, this flower scented spray. Spray it when you're done. What is the matter with us? Now what do you have? The smell of poop and wildflowers. When you go to the bathroom, does somebody expect when you come out, wow, it smells like wildflowers. Were you planting wildflowers in here? This is what has happened to some religious situations. They're covering up their poo with a smell of religiosity. I did it. But Jesus can take the stink and the stain out by His blood. He can take it out. That is the gospel. Jesus answered His own question where it was all from. And look at these guys. They didn't like it. Has anybody not ever liked the fact that you're different? I was talking to a couple the other day. They said, man, all of our friends, they just think that we're so bizarre. We're so weird. We're following Jesus. We go to church all the time. You know, everything. They used to live a different way. And then it was just like, they feel like the outsiders. What they're doing is wrong. They're doing everything right. Anybody like me ever say, what has happened to you, Evan? And just think, you're such a goody-two-shoe now, or whatever it is. That's the way of the religious. It's the way of the one that says good things respectfully, but doesn't see the work of God. See, the gospel annoys pretenders. It annoys the pretenders. Wait a minute, what do you need all that for? They just don't see and understand. You got to be born again, Jesus said. But for those who are thirsty, man, it satisfies. To be or not to be. That's what was with the two sons. In your scriptures, in your notes I have, that's the question. I mean, if you understand the gospel, you understand that I and you, and we have to take it personally. We have to understand that if we take it personally, we got to be on His side in His kingdom now, working for Him, building the kingdom, seeking the kingdom first. We have to realize that repentance is so much a part of the gospel, and we have to say, just because I have the right answer doesn't mean I'm a Christian. Doesn't mean I'm a follower of Christ. The last thing we realize is that Jesus is the one that had the answer. The gospel changes you. And some people it annoys, and those who are thirsty are satisfied. See the asterisks in the notes here? It's the question, which son are you? Which is basically what's going on. Jesus told this story so they would know who they are, but they're all dead. And for generations to come, you and I need to look at this and say, do I know who I am? Have I been playing the game? Am I respectful, but I go off and I do whatever I want? Or maybe at some time you said, no, but today you're in the kingdom. You're serving in the kingdom. You're working to build His vineyard. Which son are you? See, the sons were not defined by what they said. And I understand that's important, and words definitely mean something, but they were counted righteous, the one by what He did. And you just simply have to ask yourself the question, what are you doing for the kingdom today? Are you a talker or are you a doer? The most famous soliloquy is probably, as I did a little bit of research, this one from Hamlet. To be or not to be? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or to take arms against a sea of trouble. What is better for the Christian, for the man who hears the call of God to go out and to do what is right and take the slings and the arrows of life, or to just kind of get along with everybody else and don't rock the boat? Jesus was a boat rocker. Jesus got out of the boat. And when He walked on water, He rocked their world. Jesus hung on the cross so that you and I could see that He is dying for and giving His life for those who would come and say, I work in the kingdom. Not all talk, all action. Jesus has one line for you, and then I'm going to ask two things. Number one, I want to talk to Christians. I'm going to ask you, if you're a Christian today, stand for Jesus. I'm going to ask you. If you love Jesus, shouldn't be no issue. The other one I want to talk to is maybe somebody that's here today, like I can remember sitting in church thinking, you know, man, I may have thought I was, but I need to make a decision and make it now. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand here in just a second, because Jesus has a line for you. I don't want to be disrespectful. It's not a pickup line, but it is a pickup line if you pick it up. It's the same thing that he said to them. Even after you saw all this, you did not repent and believe? Even after you saw everything that Jesus is talking to, even after you heard everything, you have ears but don't hear, you have eyes but don't see? But you can. And if the Lord is moving your heart, then the only thing to do is for you to take it personally. I can tell you this, He's a good, good Father. Would you bow your heads with me, everybody? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I want to talk to those who maybe today, you maybe want to recommit your life to Christ, or maybe for the very first time say, I want to be the son who maybe at first said, I'm not going, but today you're going to work in the Father's vineyard. If you're here today, would you raise your hand so I can pray with you? Raise your hand right now. Anybody else? Thank you. Okay, Father God, as we come before you today, we get ready to close this service. But this close of this service is a brand new opening, a brand new beginning for some today who said, maybe I played the game, maybe I said this, that, and the other, but it's not about words no more. It's not about being a pretender. It's about today becoming a follower of yours, getting involved in prayer, in reading the scriptures, in Bible study, in serving, in fellowship, in giving, because being a part of your kingdom means you come first. So Lord, I pray that you'll seal the work in those that have raised their hands today. I pray that you will seal the work in their hearts and their lives today, that your Spirit would reassure them today that what you have done in them, what you have said to them, has caused them to respond back to you. They took it personal. They've repented, and now they are yours. May they grow and grow and grow. Prune like you do prune all of us so that they bear great fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'd like to pray for all those who are believers today. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not, don't stand, don't worry about it. That's great. We appreciate your integrity. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, would you stand so we can pray? Father God, as we come before you and close our service today, we know, I love the saying that one church has, you come in to hear the word of God, but you leave to serve. We are here. And what makes this church awesome is not the preacher. What makes this church awesome is the gifts and talents that you've given to us, that we take and turn them back to you, that this church, that what we do here at Lifehouse is a reflection of what you've put inside of us. We stand because you hung on the cross. We stand because we love you. Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit in this church so that everything that we do reflects who you are. We will give you the praise, the honor, and glory, for you are a good, good Father. I pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.